Murphy is a coach and partner in Psalms Path. Rusty Roberts is the founder of Brio Medical and also a partner in Psalms Path Consulting. They are helping people to overcome midlife misery and move towards the lives that they really want to live. Welcome to the show, gentlemen.
Appreciate it, George.
Excited to have you guys on. Tell us a little bit about your personal lives, more about your work, and why you're doing what it is that you are doing, please.
If I'll take the lead there, if you don't mind, Sean. Once again, I'm Rusty. I founded Brio Medical out in Scottsdale, Arizona. I did that on pure scripture. And the Lord has simply allowed me to live above my physical capabilities in starting this clinic, as I'm not a doctor. I'd never owned a brick and mortar business before this. But it's one of the Brio Medical has been around for a couple of years now, and is quickly becoming one of the top integrative cancer clinics in the country. So my name's not in the Bible, and it's there. It's not there because the Lord will do this for anyone who knows the scriptures and loves them. So Psalms Path is a very specific scriptures in the Bible that I used to build this clinic and take it to the front. So Psalms Path, the consulting that Sean and I do, is designed to help people bust out of what we call midlife misery. Because I built this in my late 40s, early 50s, when people normally do not do such things or take such risks. So for those people who may be regretting or thinking about missed opportunities, they're going through what we call midlife misery. There's a better way. There's a better path. We call that Psalms Path, right, John?
Amen. Amen. What brought us together initially, George, was pain. I've been in the fitness industry for well over 20 years. I've owned and operated my own gyms. And through that journey, through that process, I hit all the struggles that entrepreneurship will do to you, including burnout and frustration and anger and whatnot. And it was during that pain that I was in that I found God. And so one of our main messages is, you know, if you're in pain, if you're in misery right now, God may be just pursuing you. You just haven't experienced him yet. And so we're here to share that experience with people as well. And when I stepped out and I just submitted to him and I started sharing a ministry online, this is really how me and Rusty connected. Was I made a one little reel that went viral. And with that viral reel, I just stepped out into a small little action. It wasn't nothing big on my part, but man, God turned it into a miracle. And so we know that God still performs miracles today. We just witnessed a miracle over this past weekend with former President Trump. We know that that was divine intervention right there. And so we know that he will perform miracles in anybody's life who wants to experience him and seek him out.
Well, I appreciate all that. The problem of midlife misery, is this something that's been present for all of human history? Is it worse now?
That is a very good question. Rusty, you want to take the lead and I'll share some statistics later.
Sure. Absolutely. I think it's probably the worst it's ever been. There's little to no spiritual eyes being used in this country, and COVID, we separated each other. We made each other into the enemy, and that's not in our nature. That's not who human beings are meant to be. So I think that's caused even more, I'd say, misery. Absolutely. We have regret. We have depression. We have anxiety. Man, we got a gamut of all sorts of mental problems that people are facing today. And Psalms Path is very, very specific scriptures that go straight to the point, right, John? Go straight to the point. Go ahead. You had some stats for it.
Yeah, just kind of talking about it, you know, men will typically will bury their feelings, right? Like as men, we're taught you don't share your feelings, you don't talk about your emotions, you don't do these things. Yet there's a very powerful scripture that just says Jesus wept. And I think that's a very profound scripture that, you know, we are meant to, we're meant to share, we're meant to gather. You know, the scripture speaks over and over and over again about gathering. What COVID did was isolate us even more. So now we're falling into our own thoughts. We're falling into our own feelings. We have no escape. We have no outlet. I mean, they shut down our gyms even. And I know a lot of people use gym and fitness as a way of getting, having that outlet and having that mental therapy, if you will. Unfortunately, the gym never did the mental therapy for me. Always relied on mental and physical strength, and I would always coach that, and I would always preach that. Yet my spiritual strength was not there. And so this is what's really lacking in people's lives today is, again, just having that experience with God, having that spiritual strength, if you will. And some scary statistics are out there, George, is, you know, up to 89% of who claim to be Christians don't even know what their purpose is. They don't know what their calling is. And so Tony Robbins will say the greatest failure is having success, but no fulfillment, right? And this is where that missing spiritual piece of the puzzle needs to be come into order, needs to come into place. And this is God's purpose for our lives. A lot of times we're seeking our purpose, but we're not finding out what God's will is, what his purpose is, right? And so 89% of Christians don't know that calling, 49%, and the number has scaled to closer to 72% since COVID, are dealing with things like depression, anxiety, self-sabotage, you know, things of that nature, even suicidal thoughts. I know that I fell into all of that stuff. So it's very scary and it's very alarming, yet there is hope, there is an answer, and it's found in the scripture. It's found with a relationship with Jesus Christ.
It is I think that we all sort of have heard that we're supposed to know what our why is or what our purpose is, but I'm fond of saying I don't like telling people to just do it, because if I don't know how to do it, then why would I be able to do this? So it's not obvious to me how to be clear on what my purpose is. And that's great. It's important to find our purpose. You mentioned knowing what God's purpose for us is. Can you tell me a little bit more about that?
Gotcha.
It's very clear. It's very straight to the point. And Jesus says, follow me, be my disciple. It's really that cut and dry. But how do we do that? How do we fall in line with that? How do we follow him? It's simply by having a one-on-one relationship with him. A lot of us will go to church, we'll sit in the pews, and we've done our check mark for today. Maybe we'll even open up the scripture and we'll just read it as a check mark in a day. But there's a profound problem with all of that. It's that we're not really seeking a relationship with them. We're not seeking the enlightenment with them. You know, I would imagine, George, that you have this podcast because it's something that you enjoy. It's something that you take delight in. And your listeners here have made a connection with you. So they tune in and they want to be here. They want to enjoy some time with you. Well, if we delight ourselves in the Lord, we should be doing that same thing. We should be taking time out with him. And it's really what he wants. He wants that personal relationship. And Rusty shared with me, he discipled this for me, and I'm going to let him share the scripture with you. There's one big error that we have when we just kind of open the Bible and reread the scriptures and we do a check mark for today, or when we just pray for something and yet we don't get it. And I'm going to invite Rusty to kind of open up that, because there's one scripture that talks about why you're in error in this way and why you're not receiving things, doing things kind of in this checkbox kind of way. Rusty, will you just kind of deep it? I know you know where I'm going with that. So
of course, we would call this basically ground zero of anyone's problems. It's found in Matthew in the chapter 22, verse 29. Jesus is having a conversation with some Pharisees. These are legal lawyers, religious lawyers of the day. And they're trying to entrap him in some way, because that's what they do. But Jesus saw through every one of their issues. He says, you're in error because you do not know the scriptures nor the power of God. What this meant to us, as it was written down for us, is that the very center, the epicenter of every one of our problems, doesn't matter what it is. Honestly, it does not matter what it is. Would be the fact that we're not digging into the scriptures. If we do, when we do, we'll actually start seeing the power of God in our lives to overcome any hurdle, any obstacle, bust through any wall, any issue that you may have. That is a given promise to us. And it's why we are not seeing purpose. It's why we're not seeing those breakthroughs in our lives. And I think that's what Sean, would you agree? Is that what most people are having an issue with?
100%. And there is kind of, there's some certain things that the Bible is very clear on us doing on our part. And it's really a three-step process if you want to think about these things. Number one is seek first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness. That's found in Matthew 6:33. The second thing that the Bible is very clear on is renewing your mind. And that's found in Romans 12:2. And the third thing that the Bible is very clear on is to train in godliness. And so this is found in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. When we do these three things, when we seek the kingdom, when we renew our minds, and when we train in godliness, and by the way, this is an everyday thing. This isn't just a check mark, I got it done, and now I'm good with my life. No, this is an everyday pursuit. When you do these three things, you will discover who God really is. You will discover his order. You'll discover his priorities. You will discover your purpose through those actions.
Who am I to have a relationship, a one-on-one relationship with God?
Very good question. It's not under your own right. It never has been. None of us can clean ourselves up, be presentable. That's a gift that he extends to us, and it's unconditional. What a wonderful thing that is. It's because you don't have to be good enough, because honestly, we can't be good enough. It is truly not possible. Even our righteousness has been deemed as filthy rags that comes out of the book of Isaiah. So the good news is you don't have to be. And it is a free gift. Today is all we ever have. Tomorrow's not accessible. And yesterday's not accessible. All we actually have is right now. So no matter what condition a person is in right now, they're in the right condition. Go ahead and come to the Father.
Yep. Amen. And George, I always thought that I had to fix everything when I was in my own mental funk and depression, anxiety, fear, worry, anger, the whole nine. I was always saying to myself, when I do X, Y, and Z, then I'll be able to get back with God. And those are the lies of the enemy that just keep on cycling over. This is why, again, you know, renewing the mind is so important. I mean, we're supposed to be on guard. Being on guard means being on guard of our mind. The Bible is very clear to take captive of every thought, because this is where the enemy works. It's the mind is the battlefield of the enemy, right? And so he will tell you, you're not worthy. You're not good enough. Remember what you did. God doesn't want you. God has nothing to do with you. Those are all lies of the enemy. And look at the pronouns he's using. He's saying you, 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 you. When you start saying me and I, you have come to terms and you've come to agreement with that. You've come to agreement with the enemy. So watch those pronouns. If you're hearing you know that's the enemy's talking directly to you. When you have been programmed saying me and I, now you're in very dangerous territory, because now he has gotten you to accept that identity. What Psalms Path does is we help you to find your worthiness through the blood of the Lamb. It's through that relationship. It's through Jesus Christ. I would submit to you that your worth trumps self-confidence in every part of life. When you find your worth in Christ, because you are so worthy that he died for you. He died for you, George. He died for me. He died for Rusty. He died for every single person listening to this podcast today. You are worthy of the blood of the Lamb. You are worthy of Jesus Christ. You are worthy of that relationship. And I would invite anybody who's like saying, well, you don't know what I've done. You don't know what I've been through. There's no way God can fix me. Read King David's story. Go read King David about redemption, the man who had a heart for God. Read about his story that's found in 1st and 2nd Kings, or I think that's Samuel's story, or Solomon's story. Go back to Samuel. I think it's found in 1st and 2nd Samuel. You'll start really reading about King David. And then read the Psalms. If you really want to know what a heart for God looks like, start reading through Psalms, because that was written by the man who had a heart of God, and that was King David.
If I could add something to that, the main problem that everyone has is no one knows what their identity is. And am I worthy? Let me tell you, there's a story that goes on about leaving the 99 to go after the one. The point of this story is that if you were the only one who ever sinned on this planet, created a universe would have still came down here to die for you, even if you were the only one. So are you worthy? In that Amen. Aspect, you're loved enough, you're worthy. Absolutely. Absolutely. Amen.
I appreciate that. So this three-step process of seeking first, that is pursuing, inviting relationship with God.
Amen. So two key words, it's seek and his righteousness. What is his righteousness? It's his love and it's his compassion. It's his mercy. It's his grace. And it's actually, again, there's really 20 attributes, like when we talk about righteousness, when we talk about godliness, when we talk about kind of developing those characteristics, you can find 20 of these attributes and these characteristics written out through Timothy, both books of Timothy, 1st and 2nd, as well as Titus. And so seeking him and his righteousness is just really, again, just seeking a relationship with him. You know, we can't earn our way into salvation. This is not what this is about. Salvation is a gift. However, when we want to feel fulfilled, when we want to step into our purpose, when we want to model what true Christians should be, I think it was Gandhi who said, I would have been a Christian had I never met one. Unfortunately, a lot of us Christians do a lot of damage to the gospel, do a lot of damage to God. And so a lot of people are like, yeah, you're that way. Yeah, I don't want to have anything to do with that, right? So seeking him and his righteousness is about knowing what the kingdom stands for. It's what's known what God stands for. It's what's known what his purpose and his priorities are all about, what his order, his specific order is, and then standing firm in that faith, no matter what is coming at us, no matter what obstacles we might have to be going through, no matter what people say, we stand firm in that faith. The only way that we can stand firm in that faith, though, George, is by knowing what the kingdom stands for in the first place, what the kingdom is all about. So that's really what that seeking is. And again, it comes out of the scripture, but it also comes to communion. As much as I love podcasts and I love listening to podcasts, I love listening to shows like yours, George, but I think as men, a lot of times it's time to stop listening and start gathering, right? Like we can turn on the podcast, we could turn on all these different things, but we could even sit in church in the pews and we could just keep hearing the same message over and over and over again. But until we start doing, and so until we start gathering and forming that unity together, you're never going to create that strong bond that that Jesus would have for you in your life. Think of this. Everybody in the Bible had help. Every single person had help in the Bible. And even God said the first thing was not good was for man to be alone. So he gave him a suitable helper. Jesus had his 12 disciples. Moses had Aaron. And Paul had Timothy and Titus. I mean, the list just goes on and on and on. So we're not supposed to do it alone. We're not supposed to be alone. We're supposed to gather and we're supposed to cultivate. We're supposed to rebuke each other. We're supposed to correct one another, but we're supposed to, as the proverb says, iron sharpens iron. We're supposed to sharpen each other and help each other cultivate and grow. So
a lot of
I hope that answers your question.
For sure. and then some. That I think that clarified step two and three as well.
Super.
Right? To renewing your mind and then training godliness is not simply to take in information. It's to actually think about it, to critically think and to put it to work in our lives versus just being a receiver. It's a participant.
I apologize for that.
Oh, not at all.
I had to mute as well. People are coming and going out of the house. The dogs got a little unruly. I apologize for that. Go ahead.
So just one last thought while we have time is tell me what righteous desire is.
Man, those are awesome. Righteous desires are not ordinary desires. We don't have any righteousness actually of our own, real righteousness. We don't actually have that. Righteous desires are actually given to us by our Heavenly Father, which are, it's absolutely beautiful because when the Lord gives you something, he has all the resources to make it a reality. So even where you and I may fall short, I have this idea, I got this crazy idea. You're on your own to make that a reality under whatever resources and capabilities that you possess. But when it's a righteous desire, knowing the criteria of righteous desire, once a person understands how these criteria and how a righteous desire is formulated, the patterns that are involved, then there's actually nothing that can, there's sky's the limit. There's nothing you can't do. Doesn't matter the lack of resources, doesn't matter your age, what side of railroad tracks you were born on, your color, your college you went to, or if you didn't go to college, it will not matter. Nothing can be stopped when you are working in a righteous desire. It's how I built Brio Medical when I wasn't qualified to do it. I wasn't a doctor, still not a doctor. I didn't possess the money. I didn't have the background, never did a clinic before. But I knew in my heart, this is a righteous desire from the Lord. I fell upon those scriptures. I ate them, so to speak. I tell that, do that with Sean all the time, eat the scriptures. And that's a, it's a figurative speech, is that when we eat something, we are what we eat. So when you internalize a scripture, it renews your mind. It changes who you are. So righteous desires have immense power and authority in them, because they cannot be stopped, regardless of your shortcomings. And those promises are given as to us right inside the scriptures. It's why Sean and say, I say that any comeback would start with Matthew 22:29. When you know the scriptures, you'll see the power of God in your life, and you won't, nothing can stop you. You would have confidence and peace in your new identity. It'll bust through all of the misery that we deal with on a daily basis. It changes who we are fundamentally. That's what righteous desire. In an ending note, Sean and I know it's bait. We would call it bait. Jesus said, I'll make you fishers of men. So fishermen use bait. Righteous desires are given to us as bait to become whom the Lord wants us truly to be. In the end, when you live inside of righteous desires, you'll be an elevated disciple, lacking nothing. They're some of the most happiest people you'll ever meet. They change the world around them, and this is who the Lord wants us to be.
Excellent. Rusty and Sean, thank you so much for coming on. Where can people learn more about you? How can they engage?
Oh, Jen.
Yeah, so we put together a free course, we put together a course, and you can find this at psalmspath.com. And if there's anybody that's really struggling and they want to have a conversation, feel free to reach out to us on Instagram. Just DM us. You can find us at psalmspath. No special characters or pronunciation or anything like that. Just spell it out, Psalms Path with an S, and send us a DM, send us a message, send us what you're struggling with, and we'll have that conversation with you. The most important thing here for us, George, is for people to know Jesus Christ, for them to know that they're worthy, that they can have salvation, and that they can have freedom while walking here on earth. We are actually promised a good life here on earth, even though there's going to be trials, even though there's going to be hardships, even though there's going to be trials and tribulations, we can still find pure joy, happiness, and purpose while he living on this side of eternity, rather than just waiting for, I can't wait for Jesus to come back. Although that is going to be a glorious day. I'm looking forward to that day too, but you can have it all while here on planet earth.
Excellent. Well, if you enjoyed this as much as I did, show Rusty and Sean your appreciation and share today's show with a friend who also appreciates good ideas. Go to psalmspath.com. Check out the resources and the course that Sean and Rusty have been talking about. You can find them on Instagram and reach out and engage and start pursuing what we've been talking about today. Thanks again, guys.
Thank you, George.
Thank you, George.
Until next time, remember, do your part by doing your best.